Blog Talk Radio.
Good Tuesday afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, and first we'd like to welcome our regular listeners in Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma. Also would like to welcome our friends in Los Angeles, California, and also San Francisco that are joining us as well. Hello to all of you listening to us live online as well as through the podcast, and thank you for joining us for another great show. Now, it is Tuesday here on Conversations. It's April 28th, and we have another great interview for you today. This is actually part two of an interview that we started yesterday. If you remember, for those who listened to the Monday afternoon edition of Conversations, we talked to Rick Doble. He's the co-author of the book Cheaper. Now today we're going to be joined by the other co-author of the book, Tom Philbin. He's going to be discussing not only Cheaper, but also his incredible career that he's had that spanned over 40 books. So we're looking forward to talking with him about his career and also about some of the topics that are addressed in the new book, Cheaper. So please help me welcome Tom Philbin. Hello, Tom.
How are you doing, Cyrus?
Doing great. Welcome to Conversations Live.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're very excited about this interview. As I mentioned to you before we went on the air, Tom, we had a great discussion yesterday with Rick discussing some of the practical tips that you guys have put in Cheaper, insider tips for saving on everything. And we'll get to some of those with you as well. But before we get into that, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been a full-time freelance writer for about 33 years, and I've written I've written 50 books, and like I always say, someday I hope to get them published. 50 published books, and I write for the Reader's Digest and Woman's Day and a whole bunch of... I write about anything I can understand and that interests me and that I think will have some value. For example, on money, I'm kind of an old-time Ralph Nader supporter in the sense of his consumerism, and anything that helps consumers is the kind of thing I like to do. Like I did a book, and it's... I don't even know if it's available, but I did it in 92, called How to Hire a Home Improvement Contractor Without Getting Chiseled. In other words, I try to help people, and of course, today, saving money is a big-time help, you know, if they work at it, you know. So a lot of people, I don't know, they don't actually hear the crinkle of the bills or see the green of the money, and they can't imagine that, you know, taking certain steps will save them a ton of money. And we say, like in our new book, we could save them anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. And that's not baloney. That's really true if people
right.
work at it.
Right.
And as far as my career, other than that, I was in the service. I was a paratrooper. I was, I went to college in Manhattan in Riverdale, New York, and English major. And I was surprised once I went to an old-time reunion, like my grammar school class, and they said, oh, you're a writer. Yeah, we always knew you were going to be a writer. I said, how could you know that when I was 14 years old? They said, don't you remember you were the best writer in the class? I said,
wow.
Oh, okay. But you know what I mean? It was how kids have perceptions, and I can remember other classmates who were good at certain things, and they kind of went on to those careers.
And I think that's something that for our listeners that are aspiring writers or that have aspirations of being published, I mean, they can look at a career like yours. It looks like, I mean, and as I was telling you before we went on the air, Tom, I was asking you if you were the same author who had written some books that came up in my research, and that was The Killer Book of True Crime that came out in 2000.
Yeah, and also The Killer Book of Serial Killers.
Exactly, that just came out this year or the end of last year?
In January, that's right, came out in January.
So you've had a career that expanded everything from, you know, the books that are not only nonfiction but also fiction as well, and you mentioned the money books as well. How do you, or what do you attribute your diversity to in writing?
To be totally honest with you, it's survival. It's like, you know, it's sort of kind of, I write what I think will help make me a living and will also do people some good. And freelance writing is a very, very tough occupation. I mean, it's people don't pay unless they like what you do. And
right.
And you just have to... You work hard in it, and sometimes people come to me, like I had my agent, Al Zuckerman of Writer's House, he came to me once with a proposition, and I ended up doing a book with a psychic, a guy named Jeffrey Wands, and you know, that was good. It was it paid well, and it was very interesting. And you know, I do whatever, I write about whatever I can really understand, and it all starts with the writer, I'd say. In other words, if the writer doesn't understand it or can't get involved in it in some way, don't even try it. It's just, like I said before that we went on air, you know, I don't do nuclear fission because, you know, I wouldn't do a book on electrical engineering. I wouldn't do certain other things, you know, that I, you know, child care would not interest me, even though I thought I was a pretty good father, you know. But it has to grab you, you know. Passion is key in anything, I think. I mean, and whether in the novels I've written, of course, feeling is everything. But also when you're kind of doing something like this, I mean, my dedication in this book and cheaper is to the beleaguered, battered, and ripped-off shoppers of America. Here's some sad, you know. This is the way I feel about it.
And I think, and we're going to pick up on three of the points in the book. I think they're one of the things I was tweeting with someone yesterday about the interview, and one of the things that she said, and she was actually an author as well, when hearing the interview with Rick, is that the things that you guys present in this book are common sense things. However, it sounds differently coming from someone else. And you're like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? You know, that's just simple things. And I think, and again, doing my research on, you know, getting ready for this interview, the advice you give on money and savings, you know, the books leading up to Cheaper, are things that are just practical application. Do you think that the way that you guys have written this book, because it's only been out now a month, so the way that you guys wrote it, and because you guys are talking about things that you yourself have practiced and have worked for you, do you think that's part of the draw for the book?
Part of the draw for the book? Yeah, I mean, I think that we also consciously put in examples and anecdotes, because people just straight copy, you know, where you just kind of write facts on saving money, that can get boring. You know, you want to put actual experiences of people. For example, on drugs. Now, my wife, you know, she had a breast cancer, and she, the doctor, she's fine now, by the way. But you know, the doctor prescribed this stuff, Arimidex, and we weren't covered at the time, and it was like $350 a month. And so I kind of researched a little bit, and I found out that sometimes these doctors, a lot of times, not sometimes, a lot of times, doctors get samples. And so we approached the doctor and said, hey, do you have any samples of this stuff? As it turned out, she had 7 months of free samples, or six months. We saved like $1,700 on this Arimidex, you know. So that's one way people can go and save money on that, you know. But that's interesting, because that's a real life thing that happened to me and my wife, you know. And and so it, you know, you always want to kind of get people, if you want to draw people in, you have to really make it interesting. And like Rick is a genius, because he's been working on with saving money projects for so long. He has all kinds of facts and figures and all, and those are interesting. So we're almost pathologically worried about boring the reader, you know. And that's, you know, there are examples of throughout. You know, I did the things on home improvement and home repair, and all. I have all kinds of examples of actual people going through this stuff, you know.
Exactly. And the example you just gave just now, Tom, about the prescription and the samples, that's something that's in the book Cheaper, and something that a lot of people, they don't think about. I mean, when people think about samples, if you think about it, samples of toothpaste, samples of things that we use all the time, how much by using those samples that can help you in the way that we try to save money. So
you can save money if you get those samples. And you know what I found, one of the most interesting things about prescription drugs I found was my daughter-in-law, here again we have an example, was taking a blood pressure medication. And of course, most people know that if you get generics, you're going to save a tremendous amount of money, anywhere from 20% to 80%, you know, on the cost. But she went and asked the druggist, do you have a generic for this drug? And he said, no. And I said, okay, let me see what I can do. So I went to my druggist at Kmart, and I said to him, I said, you don't have this. And he says, no. I says, is there any combination of things you could put together that would equal this? He says, you know, there is. And he put together two, he said, these two drugs together can make up, they're both generic, can make up for the prescription drug, you know, equal the prescription drug. And if the doctor okays it, I'll make it. And the doctor said that'd be fine. And she saved herself about $200 and something a month. I mean, wow. In other words, using two different generic drugs to make one expensive prescription drug. That's a good tip. And here again, you have the real life example.
Right, exactly. And I think again, that's one of those things that you give us, and that's something that we could easily say, hey, if that worked for them, I know it can work for us.
You know, on insurance, one other thing that a lot of people don't know, I don't know, you have to be a little bit familiar with the internet, is if you want to get insurance, you know, like auto insurance or house insurance, they have charts. You go to the state insurance guide, and they have charts that can compare and contrast rates, and huge differences. I mean, in Beaumont, Texas, they have insurance, the same house insurance, home insurance. At the top company charges $1,200. The bottom company charges $350. Same insurance, and it's there in the chart. So people should peruse those and go through those for the home and the auto insurance, and they can save a lot of money, you know, that way. That's another way to save.
Another great tip there. For those just joining us, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking with co-author Tom Philbin of the book Cheaper. And this is a book that we started discussing yesterday on Monday's edition of our show with author Rick Doble. Again, the book is Cheaper, Insider Tips for Saving on Everything. Now, Tom, we need to take a quick musical break. When we come back, there's another issue that's in the book that all of our listeners can relate to, and also I'm sure will be hanging on your every word, and that's dealing with food and groceries, okay? So we want to discuss your tips for saving in that area, okay?
Fine.
All right. Again, thank you all for listening to Conversations Live. Here's our musical guest for today's show. It's the Patrick Smith Band with She's Got Me Wired. We'll be right back with Tom Philbin. That was the Patrick Smith Band with She's Got Me Wired. You're listening to Conversations Live, and our special guest for this Tuesday afternoon is author Tom Philbin. He's the author of over 50 books, but today he's discussing the book that just came out last month with co-author Rick Doble. The book is Cheaper, Insider Tips for Saving on Everything. And Tom, before we went to break, I said when we came back, I wanted to discuss a topic that all of our listeners can relate to, and that's food and groceries. Now, when people are looking for ways to save, they're looking for ways that they can trim off the amount of money that they're spending and not have to really make that big of a sacrifice. Food and groceries, of course, will always come up. Now, I want to read what you say in the beginning of chapter number 8 in the book. For those that have it, it's on page 131, and this is how you begin the chapter. The average family spends about $6,000 a year on groceries, but the plain and wonderful fact is that the average family can also lop thousands of dollars off that annual outlay without going on one of those crazed diets that show up in women's magazines every now and then, in which one spends $25 a week to feed a family of six, and where the core entree is rice. You can, as the man says, have your cake and eat it too. I love that, actually. Those are three of the sentences in the book that caught my attention and I made a note of. So tell our listeners, Tom, how can they have their cake and eat it too when it comes to food and groceries?
Well, there are a number of ways, and the main way, of course, is buying. You can save anywhere from $1,200 to $1,800 a year if you buy store-brand foods. Now, the thing is that years ago, store-brand foods were not much good, you know. I mean, they didn't taste good. But today, many manufacturers, brand-name manufacturers, sell or make the food products that go under the store's name, the store-brand name.
Right.
And so they are good and they are tasty, but you have to try out the products a little by little. You can't just buy a whole shopping cart full of store-brand products because you may not like some of them. For example, I tried, I had rice cakes. I like rice cakes. And I bought Quaker rice cakes, and they were great, you know. And then I started two different stores, their brands, and they weren't any good. They fell apart when I opened up. Today I bought a jar of pickles, which I usually get the B&G, the brand name. And I tried the store brand name, Stop and Shop store brand name, and they weren't any good. I didn't satisfy my taste, you know. So you gotta kind of weave them into your shopping gradually, and also look at the unit prices when you buy. That's another way to save. I mean, don't assume. I mean, that's the only way to say tell a valid comparison of what something really costs is that you look at those labels on the shelf, at the front of the shelves, the unit price. That's another way to save. And today, for example, you got to be careful with, because I think USA Today said that like 30% in the last few years, 30% of products have been downsized. You know, Hellman's mayonnaise is like 30 ounces instead of 32. And, you know, you got to be careful. So it's best to go for the unit pricing and on the shelves and see what kind of money you're spending. That's another thing is it sounds weird, but I mean, try to limit your maybe it doesn't sound weird, but try to limit the number of times you go into a supermarket, because every time you go in there, you're tempted to buy something else that you may not want to buy. And
right.
You may not plan to buy. And try to leave the child at home if you can, you know, because then you have to, what we call nag factor, you know, a kid will drive you nuts trying to get something. And finally, you know, you give in, you know. And by the way, the most expensive area of the supermarket is right up front there by the checkout. That's where they put all the little toys and the candy.
Exactly.
and the high pricing. So you got to be... You got to be very careful about having kids. I would say if you can go in late at night or later at night, you know, and shop then, that's a great time to shop. And there's other things. Of course, shelving, manufacturers pay for shelf prices. And if an item is on the middle shelf, that's the most expensive space, and that's where the high profit items are usually located. So you got to be careful there. Up, way up high and way down low is usually pretty good. So those are a couple of tips. And let me see what else we got here. Sometimes the economy size is good. You know, you can go into a health food store, by the way. They sell a lot of things, large economy sizes that you don't get in supermarkets, you know, like canned goods. And you can use canned goods, oatmeal, cider, vinegar, all kinds of things like that. And you usually get 10%, you know. And another thing, be very alert to scanning mistakes. When you push your stuff out of a checkout counter, you put all the sale items at the end so you can keep track of them. I went into a Stop and Shop about a couple of weeks ago when I bought these little mini cupcakes at Hostess sells, and it was like $3 for, you know, a whole bunch of them, and I went there, and they charged me. I watched. Of course, I always watch, and they charged me $3.99, which is the standard price. And I went up to the counter, and I pointed it out, and the guy says, okay. He says, it'll cost you exactly nothing, because when they make a mistake on the scanning, that's what that particular supermarket does. They give you the whole product for nothing. So, but it's not that the checkout clerks are trying to, you know, rip you off or anything like that. It's that they don't input those new prices, the sale prices, into the computer. So you got to really watch that. Another way to save is to buy stuff that's fresh. In other words, and the stuff, you know, you don't have to be, if you have arms like an orangutan, you're in great shape. You know, reach in the back and get the one in the back. And get the bread that's in the back or anything that's perishable, get it from the back, because the basic thing here is that fresher stuff tastes better, and it tastes better. But the other thing is that you have less spoilage. Doesn't spoil as quick, so you tend to use it up before it spoils. So that's another way to save. Another way to save is to make friends with the produce market guy or gal or the meat market person, and just say, when are you going to have such and such on sale? And if you get to have a relationship with somebody like this, you can save 50% and a lot more on your stuff, and you'll get the best stuff he has. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's past its sale date, what they call the pull date, you know.
Right.
And so that's another good way to save. And the other thing, another good way to save is to don't buy products that are super products, like you get a hefty bag that says, you know, you can carry a broken piano in it. Who cares? I mean, I don't need to carry a broken piano in it. And I mean, just get the bag that works. And never mind Bounty Quick or Picker Upper. What does that mean? I have no idea. Get it. Get the cheap stuff. And if you have a little problem picking something up, use two sheets, and you'll still save money. So you try to buy the cheaper stuff. If you get the brand name, the store brand, it applies to just about everything, you know. But again, check the unit pricing and see what the prices are of whether you're truly saving, you know.
And those are all tips, Tom, that I think when listeners listen to, they're like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, because you think about these products. A lot of the times, it's just as you mentioned, a lot of times the store brand, as it's called, or the as my brother likes to call it, the no name brand, is made by some of the more popular brands.
Sure. By the way, you'll have a hard time finding out who makes it. They
exactly.
don't want to reveal that.
Of course. And a lot of it, and I mentioned this with Rick yesterday, a lot of it's conditioning. A lot of times we've been conditioned to think if you pay more for something, that's automatically better,
That's a great insight. You should say that again. That's a great insight. That really is. Because we are conditioned to it, and we think that, you know, you got to get the brand and it's the best. No, not true at all. You know,
right.
If it tastes good, that's fine. That's all.
Exactly.
And it's going to taste better if it's costing you 40% less.
Right. And again, we want our listeners to know, we mentioned three of these points yesterday. We've mentioned today. We've talked about insurance for one thing. We've also talked about medication ways you can save there. This food and groceries is a big one. And so another thing, we definitely want people to pick up the book. It's Cheaper Insider Tips for Saving on Everything, because there are so many great tips in there, including coupons. Something that I never really thought about is that don't just look for coupons dealing with food. There are other products that you can find coupons for. Also, another tip that my mother was sharing with me when I was telling her about this interview, Tom, was keep in mind that some of the stores will actually do price matching. If you take in a paper and say, hey, I can get, you know, if I go to this store, it's this price, will you match it? They will actually match it. I guess Rick would call that haggling, so that's another great
way. We didn't include that, but that's a very good one. And
yeah.
Let me say this, fast food places, if you're a senior, a lot of them give 10%, you know, off.
Right.
But people, you have to ask them. They don't say, hey, would you like your 10%, sir? You old codger, would you like your 10%? No, you have to ask for it, you know. And, you know, that can add up if you go to a fast food place every couple of weeks.
Right.
Every twice a week or something like that, you know. And you can haggle, too. Of course, haggling is a whole other game. But that's... You know, that 10%, I'm a senior, and I get that all the time. I'm not really crazy in love with this, a McDonald's one. They give you, like, a glass of soda for, like, 75 cents instead of a dollar something, you know?
Right.
But I get it. It does save a little bit of money, you know? And that's, by the way, that's a real, I wonder how much, I would like to have the money. I would like them the money that was saved by these fast food chains by displacing the product with ice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. That's definitely
another
subject.
I went into Dunkin' Donuts to get a blueberry coffee for my son-in-law, and they fill the entire glass up with ice. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, and then what are you getting? You know, that's another thing. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, we definitely appreciate this, Tom. A lot of great tips that you guys have given us in this book. Again, it's Cheaper, the Insider's Tips for Saving on Everything. As Rick mentioned yesterday, there is a website you can go to and get a tons of other bits of information. Go to SavvyDiscounts.com. That's www.SavvyDiscounts.com. Keep in mind that Cheaper is available at bookstores nationwide, so go out and pick it up if it's not at your bookstore that you normally shop at. We do invite you to tell them to order it for you. They'll be glad to get it for you. It is published by Random House. Tom, we hope you'll come back and discuss your future projects with us, and also congratulations on the new book that came out in January as well. We wish you nothing but the best in your writing career.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Well, thank you, and we hope to have you back real soon. For all of our listeners, thank you for joining us for another edition of Conversations Live. Now, keep in mind, if you missed any part of this interview, you can get the podcast about 10 minutes after we go off the air. Just go to my main website at www.conversationsliveradio.com. That's www.conversationsliveradio.com. There you'll be able to download the entire interview, save it to your computer, share it with a friend. It's definitely great. Again, that's Monday's edition with Rick Doble and also today with Tom Philbin. Now keep in mind, tomorrow we'll have another first timer here on our broadcast. Arlene Radaski will be here during our noon edition at 12 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, Arlene Radaski, the author of The Fox, will be here right here on Conversations Live to talk to you about her writing career, her book The Fox, and also her support of our upcoming reality show, The Right Stuff. Until then, my name is Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Make it a great one.
Are you one of those people that know they need to be drinking more water but just don't? Are you looking for something that is refreshing but has fewer calories than soda? Then Coca-Cola has something just for you, vitamin water. Endorsed by celebrities such as 50 Cent, Carrie Underwood, and Alicia Keys, vitamin water is designed to fill the gap between soft drinks and water. It provides nutrients consumers are likely to be missing. As the official water product of the Right Stuff reality show, the distributors of vitamin water in Louisville, Kentucky encourage you to join the addiction and get hooked on books. For more information about vitamin water or how you can support literacy in your area, visit www.therightstufftv.com. That's THEWRITESTUFFTV.com.